This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
What are you pointing at me for? You just hear a boy band and just immediately point at me.
That's you, yeah.
I agree. This is Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17 here on ESPN Radio, ESPN 2, presented by Progressive Insurance. I am going to defer to Smalls for anything positive now, Dodgers, because it frustrates the heck out of her. They are losing 5-1, but...
But, with Shohei Ohtani up to bat, one out in the bottom of the second, the Dodgers have two in scoring position.
That pains you to say.
It does, but...
It's the Dodgers.
Too early to live bet Ohtani over under hits.
Oh, boy.
never too early.
Just asking.
You got 4.5 on there?
Here we go. Did he just...
Nope.
Can of corn.
Warning track.
There we go.
Okay, here's the problem we're running into, I realized. The split screen on ESPN2 is ahead of our screens here.
This is amazing.
We finally have TVs in here. We're so excited about the
this
TVs
awesome.
That
awesome.
We're watching. I mean, we have had TVs. We just have had them on our show notes instead of actually what's on TV.
Mm-hmm. I wish that we had morning baseball every day. This is so fun.
I'm sure Ohtani wishes that we had this every day, too.
I mean, they play enough games where they could do morning baseball,
yeah.
Right? Like, y'all got enough games.
Coffee and donuts right? And a little baseball?
Come on now.
We will
sacrifice
continue.
A couple of the 162.
Exactly.
We will continue the Ohtani conversation because there is a lot to digest here with this. With this situation with his translator and the $4.5 million debt that resulted from gambling reportedly, and then whether or not Ohtani is involved or not involved in any of this at all. No accusations, just trying to bring up that story here, obviously, with this, as we don't know the details, and he's playing right now as part of game 2 of the Soul Series airing currently on ESPN. But we've had a lot of conversations about the quarterback position, of course. Aaron Rodgers on Fields. Not a great season last year. Not his fault. 4 plays, got hurt, done for the season. And yesterday, we had a chance to talk with Kimberly A. Martin, our ESPN NFL reporter, about whether or not this could be Rodgers' last season with the Jets.
Not by his choice. That would mean the Jets, Joe Douglas, and Robert Saleh, Woody Johnson have to say, ooh, you were so terrible. We are better off going with someone else. I don't think the Jets would be at that point. I think there's a better chance that Aaron is the quarterback than Robert Saleh is the head coach. If they don't make the playoffs, I would think you make a move at head coach. Not because I think that's the right move, but I think the Jets are so dug in. Woody Johnson is like, when have the Jets had a quarterback this good?
So
how good is the question, though?
Well, right, I don't
know.
How
good is Aaron Rodgers? When's the last time we've seen Aaron Rodgers be good in the NFL? Was it 2021? I mean, this is a guy that's going into his age 41 season coming off of an Achilles injury. Why are we assigning a level of productivity to him that we rarely, if ever, see outside of Tom Brady? Why would we do that?
I'm glad you're saying it that
way. Why would we do that?
I'm glad you're saying it that way.
Why would we do that?
Because it's ridiculous to assume because Brady played till he's 40, whatever, 5 or whatever. Or like in the NBA, if you're going to say, well, LeBron played until he's 40, whatever, when he's done playing. Like, those are unicorns. Like, you can't say because of that. Aaron Rodgers has the normal progression, actually probably even a little bit better, of a guy older in age for the sport getting hurt. Breaking down a little bit. That is normal with what they're doing. But this is a division now in the AFC East that we have deemed a one bid league, so to speak, right? That Buffalo, Miami, the Jets, and the Patriots, if they are unbelievably lucky, will get a second team in the playoffs. But we're assuming it is a one bid league right now, or one big bid division, and that only one of those teams would get in. And Kmart told us yesterday she thinks there still is a chance the Jets could win the division if healthy.
Could they win the division? I think so. If everything goes according, if they stay healthy, I don't think all these guys, Mike Williams, Tyron Smith, I don't think all of them will stay healthy for 17 games. But if they do, they could win the division.
It pains CeCe to even hear that. Wow. No. Like, there's just no way they can do this. But it's interesting because when you listen to Kmart speak and she says to us that Aaron Rodgers is going to be there for the long haul, whether Saleh is there or not, Smalls, it brings me to the conversation we've had about Deshaun Watson, oddly enough, about how he owns the Cleveland Browns right now. Aaron Rodgers, based on that, owns the New York Jets.
And he has since they acquired him. He has... basically been at the helm of every single decision that was made. Everything runs through number 8, which is why I think that if he's there, so is Rob Saleh, because there's absolutely no reason on paper that you would look at last season and think that Nathaniel Hackett was the guy for the job. Yet he's coming back because that's what Aaron Rodgers wants. He wants Nathaniel Hackett's offense because it's beneficial for him. He was an MVP in that offense. But he is clearly the one that's in charge here, and he's going to play seemingly as long as he wants because I don't know that they can tell him no.
The flip side, the positive spin, which is hard, obviously, with the Jets because you just assume
everything. I'm waiting to hear it.
So here's the flip side is he counts against your cap at $17.1 million. If he's just good, and good for him means top 10 quarterback, right? Good for others does not mean top 10 quarterback. Good, if he's just good, if he's 85% of what he once was, he's a top 10 quarterback in this league. And he's only getting paid 17.1 against the cap. They have a roster around him that theoretically should win the division, which takes me to the place of this. If they don't win the division, is it because he won't be good?
Yeah. Well, I mean, what would be the other reason?
Well, sometimes we have good quarterbacks with not good rosters.
But this is a good roster.
That's what I'm getting at.
Like,
you just overhauled the offensive line. You got three new starters in free agency. I mean, you've got Elijah Vera Tucker, a first-round draft pick, coming back healthy. You invested a second-round draft pick in a center. Your offensive line should be a strong point for your offense. And guess what? Your receiving corps should be pretty good, too. I mean, you got Mike Williams to play opposite of Garrett Wilson. Think about all of the one-on-ones that Mike Williams is going to get downfield because teams are rolling coverage to Garrett Wilson. I mean, you got Tyler Conklin, a pretty decent tight end, professional tight end. You got Breece Hall, who's a guy that can go over, 1,500 yards from scrimmage in terms of rushing and receiving. You've got all of the elements that you need in order to have success as a quarterback. And, oh, did I mention you have a defense that features an all-pro player on every single level? Like, you've got Quinnen Williams. You've got Quincy Williams, his brother. You've got C.J. Mosley. You've got Sauce Gardner and D.J. Reed on the back. You've got talent. You've got all of the things that you should need in order to make a push to get to the postseason. And when you look at the landscape of the AFC East, with all of the defections, all of the salary cap casualties that Buffalo has had, with everything that the Miami Dolphins have done in terms of slashing payroll on the defensive side of the ball, and in the state of affairs in Foxborough, why shouldn't the Jets be considered the favorite in that division? The biggest reason why is the quarterback. He's the biggest question mark that the New York Jets have.
Which is amazing to think about. So if I made every team, all 32 teams in the league, I made them into a 52-man roster, and I took out the starting quarterback on every single team, and I took out every quarterback. There's no quarterbacks in the league right now. Are the Jets a top-five roster outside of the quarterback position in the league? Is that how good you're saying they are? Like, we had the conversation. Dan Orlovsky said yesterday on Get Up that the Chicago Bears have a roster that Caleb Williams is walking into that is one of the best rosters ever for a number one overall pick. Now, part of that is because it's not actually the Bears' number one overall pick. It's someone else's. But are the Jets good enough for the other positions? Right? Instead of 52, let's do it. The other 21 positions on starting offense and defense. Are they good enough where you could sit there and say, yeah, they're a top five roster in the league, and it's the quarterback's job to kind of finish it off here? Are they that good?
I'm just going through the different teams. So Kansas City, San Francisco, Green Bay.
San Francisco's roster
Green
is ridiculous.
Green Bay, Dallas.
Yeah.
Baltimore.
Yeah, top five is a stretch. But top ten, certainly.
But listen to the
top
teams you just certainly. Mentioned with them. But
exactly. And that's the point. Mm-hmm. That's the point. Kansas City, San Francisco, Green Bay, Dallas, Detroit, Baltimore. Like, those are all
The group that the Jets are in?
That's the group that the Jets are in. Those are all teams that, aside from Dallas, that won playoff games. Like that is the expectation. So not just getting into the tournament, but actually going on a deep playoff run. If you don't do that, then this move to trade for Aaron Rodgers and all of the nonsense that you've dealt with for the last year would have been all for naught. It wouldn't be worth it. So, I mean, I guess that would be the point. Like, you have to at some point end the longest playoff drought in North American team sports, and this is the year for them to do it. If it don't happen this year, when is it going to happen? Aaron Rodgers is not all of a sudden going to become a more productive player in his age 42 season than he was in age 41. And really, when you look at quarterbacks that have played in their age 41 season, it ain't great. It ain't great. Like Drew Brees, he played less than 3,000 yards passing, less than 25 touchdowns. Brett Favre, I mean, less than 3,000 yards passing. I want to say he had like 11 touchdowns to 19 interceptions. It ain't great. So again, we got to stop pointing to Tom Brady and saying, yeah, every other quarterback hereafter is going to be able to play into their 40s and have success and be productive and have that translate to the team doing high-level winning. It just doesn't go down like that. That's not what history tells us. Tom Brady is an outlier, one of one. I'm not ready to assign that to Aaron Rodgers, especially how the last full season he played ended.
Yeah, as we're going through this, they, outside of the Cowboys, do they have the most pressure on them out of any other team in the NFL to get this done? Because we just said they're a top 10, maybe bordering on top five roster from a talent perspective.
Non-quarterback, yeah.
Non-quarterback. We know that the quarterback is an MVP. He's a Super Bowl champion. And as you pointed out yesterday, when he has a chip on his shoulder and something to prove at his very best,
yep.
which he does in spades,
yeah.
he is coming back from an injury that he wanted to play last year to prove he was healthy. He is coming into this situation where he hasn't been able to prove that he's better than what Green Bay was after they had a lot of success last year. And he didn't get to play last year. So he has every single thing piling up on his shoulder to give him that motivation to play good. So with all of that being said, if they don't have success, there's going to be a lot of ripple effects from this. So outside of the Cowboys, are they the team with the most pressure on them to get it done?
I still don't think so. I think he is more than they are because there's no track record.
But they built all of this around him. They followed him blindly down the rabbit hole. So they're as complicit in this as anybody.
But what is get it done, though? I guess that like
playoffs win.
Playoffs, yeah.
Playoffs
win
and a
singular playoff game?
Yes. We would consider that a success based on where they were last year.
Here's what I would say, Smalls. They're on the list of teams that if they don't win a playoff game, they have no choice but to blow a lot of it up.
Dallas would be...
Dallas, Philadelphia. Right, and when I say blow a lot of it up, I mean quarterback, coach, front office, etc. I don't believe... I know CC disagrees slightly on this. I don't believe there's any chance of Philadelphia moving on from Jalen Hurts anytime soon. You've put it at like a 5% chance, right?
Yeah, but here's the thing. Jalen Hurts is going to have an opportunity even if Philadelphia moves on over the next couple of years. He'll be a starter in the NFL.
Right.
If the Jets don't get to the playoffs, not only is Rob Saleh and Joe Douglas going to be fired, but Aaron Rodgers is going to be done.
Well, that's the point.
Ain't nobody else going to take on the baggage of Aaron Rodgers if he can't get to the playoffs with this roster.
Aaron Rodgers.
So under those terms, Smalls, you may be right. Because, I mean, here's the thing. Dallas will blow it up, but that wouldn't preclude Dak Prescott from being a starting quarterback somewhere else. That wouldn't preclude, you know, Mike McCarthy potentially being an offensive consultant somewhere else in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're talking about these people with the Jets, the head coach, quarterback, general manager being out of football.
Correct.
Well, Aaron Rodgers is not a fan of Russell Wilson. We know that. Aaron Rodgers has to be mentioned in the same sentence as Russell Wilson. If you do not get it done this year, there may not be a next year as a starting quarterback in the NFL. That's the reality of the situation that he's in right now. Unsportsmanlike is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. We'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. We're Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Does it make me odd that I love our next guest and no one else does around here?
I love it.
Hembo is here from Greeny. I love this guy so much. He and I have like hit it off in a weird way.
Very
and
weird way.
And everyone thinks I'm extra weird because of how much I love him.
So what's the weird way you guys have hit it off?
I don't know. It's just very odd.
We remind each other of people that we know.
Right.
And so we feel like we're talking to our friends through each other. Mm. And it's super weird because neither of us have many friends. Or at least I'm speaking for myself. That's how I feel about you.
Great. Here's Hembo from Greeny and Get Up joining us. You can check out his stuff, ESPN.com. He did the whole list of rules and regulations for how you're supposed to fill out your bracket with the NCAA tournament starting today. And he is the first guest, I think, in unsportsmanlike history to request specific things asked of him.
Yes.
This is have we ever had a guest that said, you must ask me about X, Y, and Z?
No, but when it's Hembo or a member of the hashtag crew, we'll make exceptions.
Okay. No so, doubt. Hembo, I came up with this crazy question. Mm. Who's the one seed with the cleanest Final Four path? Just thinking about that aloud here.
You're catching me off guard here, but I think the answer to this question is Houston. Houston's the one seed on the upper right of your bracket, the South region. Nebraska and Texas A&M, the 8-9 there, they should easily breeze past them. I view Marquette as a fairly soft 2 because Tyler Kolek, their starting point guard, has the oblique injury, of course, and Kentucky can't play a lick of defense. I mean, mm-hmm. they rank outside the top 100 in that way. So I'd be really surprised if Houston doesn't make a fairly long run and find themselves in the Final Four with a very sturdy profile as the best team in the best conference in America.
Yeah, it's hard to play really good defense when you got four guards out there like Kentucky.
Breakneck pace, though.
Okay, so if Houston has the cleanest path, who's the team, the number one seed, that you feel like is on upset alert?
How can I not say Purdue? I have so much trauma having picked Purdue in previous years. The last three times, Scanty, they've been eliminated from the tournament to a 13, to a 15, and to a 16.
Yeah. Now, can lose to a 17.
There's the recency bias of what happened last year, though,
of course.
Right?
Yeah. But there's enough recency bias to be cause for concern. Now, we saw people made the same argument for Virginia, right? They lose to UMBC. Sorry, I didn't mean to mention that 2 days
Come
in a row.
On, man.
But then they win the title, right? So it's not like you can't do both. It's
you
not
can
like
bounce back.
You can bounce back. I don't really believe in the idea that teams are built or are not built for the tournament. The problem is when your offense runs through a 7-footer, who's a statue, he's very obviously prone to foul trouble, which you do that for one half, you could be out.
Yep.
And secondly, they're so reliant upon him. He's a much easier player to take out of the game than a lead guard, for example. And so I'm super worried about them against TCU, an opponent that I view as super underseeded as a 9, potentially in round 2. I'm not going to lose any money this year over Purdue as I have in the past. I think they get knocked out before the Sweet 16.
Wow,
before the Sweet 16.
I have them losing in the round of 32. I am not going to go down with the ship. For the third straight year.
So they don't make it out of the first weekend.
Purdue. I don't think so. That team really, really scares me. Like, their resume is good. We know that they have, you know, one of the best players in America and have for quite some time. But the combination of Edie and the coach Matt Painter, there's just enough foibles in the tournament to where I'm not going to allow myself to pick them to go super far again because of that muscle memory. You know, if they get down early, if he gets into foul trouble, if they start to feel it again, they'll clench, they'll tighten up. I think they're going to lose early again. I really do.
Yikes. Well, that's not good for my bracket, Hembo, as I have them advancing to the Final Four. But a lot of people, when they're filling out their bracket, will just default to the higher seed mm-hmm. if they don't know where to go. What are some teams that might be fool's gold when it comes to the seeding that could be overseeded?
I'm going to give you two, and I'm going to give you 2 4 seeds. I think that number 4, Kansas, is overseeded. Now, in part because their best player is injured. Mm-hmm. But this is a team that's also split their last 18 games. That's more than half of their season, of course, and had a 3-7 record on the road. That's a really, really fragile profile because obviously all of these games are not being played at Fog Allen. The other team I don't think that could advance to the Sweet 16 that many expect is Alabama, a very similar team to the aforementioned Kentucky. They play great offense, but they're outside the top 100 in defense. They can obviously put 100 on you on any given day, but you're not going to string wins together in the tournament if you have one part of your team, half of your team, that's that weak. I think Kansas and Alabama both lose before the Sweet 16.
We're talking with Hembo. You hear him with Greeny, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern time here on ESPN Radio. Get up at 8 a.m. Eastern on ESPN. Underseeded teams, you mentioned one just now, I believe. TCU, you said, right?
I think TCU's underseeded. I also think BYU, the 6 in the upper left, that's a team that I have going all the way to the Elite 8, a top 10 offense, a top 20 profile. I'm getting that as a 6 seed. That's a team that I think will outperform their seed line. And the other is New Mexico. I mentioned them on the show yesterday. New Mexico is the 11 on the bottom left. They're a 2.5-point favorite over the 6-seeded Clemson. I look at the opening lines for the first games and say to myself, okay, this is what Vegas thinks of you. If you're going to be a 2.5-point favorite as an 11 seed, that's a team that you can definitely feel winning a couple games going to the Sweet 16. I have them beating Clemson as a favorite and then beating Baylor, who I view as a fairly soft 3 in that region, to advance to the Sweet 16 in the bottom left of your bracket.
Hembo, switching gears, I know you're a baseball guy. The biggest story in all of sports right now is Shohei Ohtani, what's going on with him. What's your biggest takeaway from the Ohtani gambling scandal?
My biggest takeaway was this is Rob Manfred's biggest nightmare by a long shot. You can't conjure up a worse way to start your season mm-hmm. than your biggest star, a global icon, a $700 million player on a legacy franchise in his first weekend being embroiled in this. I am not so Pollyannish on the idea that he's done nothing wrong here. I think it's possible that this is sort of willful ignorance, but I think it is eminently more likely that there's going to be a lot more to the story than we know. I mean, Ohtani's, by all accounts, hyper-intelligent, hyper-aware, hyper-connected. I don't know how much money you guys have, but if someone stole $4.5 million of mine, I probably know about it before yesterday.
Yeah.
And so consider me
you have $4.5 million to steal? Good for you.
I'm rounding up. I'm rounding up.
Wow.
To the nearest $4.5 million in that case.
Yeah.
But this is something that I think will obviously require an enormous investigation. But here, this is me crossing my fingers, hoping.
Wait a minute. The way he just crosses it, he crosses four fingers. Two and two. Put it. This is so odd.
You're an alien.
What are you doing?
How do you guys cross your fingers?
You like do this. One. You do. Are you two fingers, one pair? You do hold two on. Pairs of crosses.
Michelle, so is that your? So that
CeCe has to move his fingers with the other hand to do it.
Wait, that's really
this is
hard.
You crossing your fingers with. He does his second
on.
And third,
release
and
them,
then fourth and
then
fifth.
Do it again. Okay, now
this is the weirdest. This wow. guy is
I'm doing.
So
I'm doing
odd.
my Anthony Munoz. I'm doing my Booger McFarlane.
Wow.
This is
wow.
hard. This is
too
hard
soon.
To do.
So, yeah, shots fired.
Exactly. What are we doing?
You are
right
an
now?
Alien.
You
Rimbo.
Are so weird.
I've got my fingers crossed.
That's not how you do. When somebody says fingers crossed, you don't do four of your five fingers.
Even the emoji for fingers crossed is just two fingers. That's it.
It's the not emoji. Four.
What?
There's an wow. Here we go.
You don't use, ever use the fingers crossed emoji?
Mm-mm.
Do you use emojis in
he's
general?
He's probably anti-emoji.
I'm a big fan of texting with
enough.
Punctuation and not with a
oh,
emoji.
Oh, wow, you're the we're going to work in all of the commas guy?
Yeah. I use the Oxford comma when texting. Ooh. And occasionally, I'll use a semicolon.
Oh, come on. Oh,
and you know what else he does? You know what else he does? He always starts texts to multiple people with friends. And I always say to him, like, these are not your friends. The people that you're like, he thinks he's friends with people because he has their number. Yeah. That doesn't indicate that you're friends.
Yes, you have theorized that I view myself as much closer to people than
yes.
I actually am.
Yes.
Are we speaking here from experience to circle back to the very beginning of our discussion?
Yeah, I actually we're friends. I thought we've established that.
Are we friends?
You too.
Are we friends? Friends?
We're getting there. We're getting
or your acquaintances.
Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. We're friends.
Put them up.
But last
all
thing,
eight of them.
Last thing on Ohtani. Wow. Do you think that Greeny would bail you out of a gambling debt?
How much are we talking?
I don't want to put a dollar figure on it. Do you think he would bail you out of a gambling debt?
I think it's unlikely if he could not profit off of him himself. But if he could turn it into a seeing green boost.
For ESPN Bet.
I think it is very possible.
Content.
Hopefully, we have, before we say goodbye, do we have your final four?
I will give it to you right now. In the
thank
upper
you.
Left, I have UConn, the number one overall seed. Upper right, I have Houston. In the bottom right, I have Creighton, the number three seed in that region coming out of the Big East. And then on the bottom left, number two, Arizona. So fairly chalky. UConn, Arizona, Houston, Creighton. That's my final four.
And winning it all?
Houston over UConn. I just couldn't pick UConn to do it just because everyone else is going to. I'm not going to win my bracket if UConn winds up doing it. I'm not going to be that person.
Double fingers crossed.
Double fingers
Hembo.
Crossed.
Put them up.
Got your number part two. The Hembo gambling scandal.
We actually have three books coming out. Right. So, don't sell me short.
We're on Sportsmanlike presented by Progressive Insurance.
You're watching the ESPN Tournament Challenge Marathon presented by Applebee's. Download the Tournament Challenge app and fill out your men's and women's brackets now.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
We always love when this guy is here. Damian Woody, ESPN NFL analyst, joining us here on Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. Do you remember, either of you, now that I think about it, your pro days? Caleb Williams had his yesterday. Marvin Harrison Jr. at Ohio State chose not to do it, which why does he have to when he's a great player and they can just watch games? Do you remember Virginia BC, your pro days?
Do I? Bruh, let me tell you something. My pro day, I remember former Bengals offensive line coach Paul Alexander. That dude tried to kill me on my pro day. He tried to kill me, man. This dude worked the hell out of me on my pro day, man. So that was like the one thing that really jumped out, you know, from my pro day. But it was we had a pretty big crowd there. But man, that was a long time.
What do you mean he tried to kill you? What does that actually mean in football terms,
bro? Like all the
pace
because what happens is like these position coaches come to your pro day and everyone wants to see certain things. Everyone has different techniques or different things they want to see. So like Paul was like, you know, he basically took charge of my workout and he had me doing all these type of crazy drills, and I mean, bro, I was like gasping for it, and I was in good shape. But he did tell me afterward. Part of it, I just wanted to see, you know, your stamina. I wanted to see what your stamina level was. You know, making sure you were still working out and doing the things you were supposed to be doing.
Yeah, they want to check out what's under the hood. They're gonna pop the top and see what's happening see what you're made of. Yep. I remember my pro day was actually at my high school because Virginia's was too early in the cycle. I had some injuries pre-draft. I was recovering from a knee injury. And so I had my pro day in April. 25 of the 32 teams showed up. And I'll remember this specifically. The D-line coach for the Giants, Mike Waffle, who I eventually ended up playing for, put me through a hellacious workout. Like to Damian's point, they want to see if you've been taking the pre-draft process seriously in terms of conditioning and getting ready for the NFL, because your approach to it tells a lot about your sports character.
Wait a minute. I have to ask something. So was that just for you, that workout?
Yeah.
And 25 of 32 showed up?
Yeah.
Do you remember the 7 that didn't, and does it bother you to this day?
No.
That's pretty impressive, 25 of 32.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Small.
Did you guys both leave your pro days feeling good about your performance and good about your draft positioning after that?
No.
He was ready to retire. Yeah. It's like, I'm out.
I felt good. Because, see, I worked out at the combine. I did everything at the combine. Uh-huh. So I just felt like the pro day was just like, that's just icing on the cake for me. So I feel good, you know, regardless at my pro day.
See, Smalls, that's the difference between a first-round draft pick and a fourth-round draft pick.
All right, let's get into some of the things around the league. We were talking about Aaron Rodgers today and how, you know, we all have kind of gone to that place of, if Russell Wilson does not succeed in Pittsburgh or does not make the team, then he's probably not going to be a starter the next year. We, the three of us, have applied that same logic to Aaron Rodgers. If he does not succeed this year, at age 42, with all of the stuff he comes with, we don't know if he's going to be a quarterback in the NFL the year after. Where are you on this?
Yeah, listen, I it would be hard for me to believe that Aaron Rodgers would fall off a cliff the way that, you know, in that scenario. You know, obviously we know he's coming off the Achilles injury and all those type of things, and you look at all the upgrades that the Jets have made, whether it's the biggest being to me is the offensive line, just getting the protection that he needs, and obviously Mike Williams. I heard you guys talking about that, man. But if Aaron Rodgers, think about this: if Aaron Rodgers doesn't play the way that the Jets envision him, everyone's gone.
Mm.
Everyone's gone. The coach, the GM, everyone's going
to
be gone,
never to be heard from again.
And because it's literally, they've pushed their chips all the way in.
Yep,
all the way in. That's why I think like the draft from their perspective is so fascinating to see which direction they go.
So we had the pro day for Caleb Williams yesterday. Mm-hmm. Also, Ohio State had their pro day.
Yep.
Marvin Harrison Jr. decided that he's not going to work out. Him and his daddy standing on business. Yep. So it's about getting ready for the NFL season, not trying to show off in shorts and T-shirts. Your thoughts on not working out in the pre-draft process?
You know, I tweeted out yesterday when I heard about, you know, about Marv not doing it. I'm like, you know what? Great.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Because so much, we hear so much from – you know, coaches and front office. It's about the tape. It's about the tape. Well, guess what? He's like, okay, if it's truly about the tape, then I'm going to stand on business.
Ain't nobody right got better tape than him.
Right.
No look, player
what,
in
look,
this draft.
Look what I've done at Ohio State with multiple quarterbacks. And my production actually got even more production last year when C.J. Stroud left. So that tells you all you need to know about the prospect. And you know, and CeCe, you know this also, man. These front office pedigree matters.
Yeah.
They look at that. Like, oh, you come, you're Marvin Harrison's senior son? Oh, that's going to factor in big time because they know, like, okay, more than likely they're going to get them prepared right from the beginning, right at an early start. So I think when you wrap it all together, bro, he's still going to be, I think, a top five pick.
No doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of Caleb Williams' pro day yesterday, Keenan Allen there to support, which I thought was very cool. But what do you make about all of the moves the Bears have made for the situation that presumably Caleb Williams is going to walk into?
So a lot of times when I talk about rookie quarterbacks, I talk about infrastructure, right? You know, so much of these rookie quarterback success lies in the infrastructure in which they come into. And you look at the Bears. Look at where the Bears are compared to when they drafted Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. It's night and day. Like, they go out there. Obviously, last year they traded for DJ Moore. They traded for Keenan Allen. DeAndre Swift, they signed in free agency. They had started upgrading the offensive line. Obviously, they made the trade for Montez Sweat last year, which, by the way, paid huge dividends. Over the last eight games, the Bears had the number one scoring defense in the National Football League. So when you look at all the things that the Bears have done, I mean, that's how you set up success for a rookie quarterback, because that's what these quarterbacks need.
I mean, you said all of the things they've done, the infrastructure is dramatically different. Is it, though, with the general manager and the head coach's job security? Like, that's the part that I go to first. Like, the job security, the general manager, and the head coach. Like, when the Bears drafted Justin Fields, it was Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace. Now it's Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus.
Yes.
Is it dramatically different? Like, if things go off the rails in year one with Caleb Williams as their quarterback, are we sure both of them are going to be back in 2025?
Yeah, listen, Ryan Poles, I just don't see a scenario in which Ryan Poles is not there. You know, we had conversations last year about Matt Eberflus. Were he going to be there? Especially, I think the conversation, we were having those conversations because his specialty, the defense, wasn't performing well. Well, guess what? When they made that trade for Montez Sweat, everything seemed to flip. That's when the defense really started taking off. They got dogs on all three levels in their defense. And remember, this is a team that still has a bounty of draft picks this year, including two, you know, top 10 picks to really add to what they've already done.
So you don't think that either one of them should be on the hot seat regardless of what happens this upcoming season?
I think if you're the Bears, like, it would just be unfathomable for me to see, like, okay, you just, for some reason, they come out of a slow start or don't have the type of season that they have, that you just can't match. Like, you would just continue this perpetual cycle in Chicago. That's just not what, in my opinion, not what you're looking for as far as trying to be a stable franchise.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking with Damian Woody here and on Sportsman, like on ESPN Radio. I have said that the moment you decided to bring Eberflus back, you should have extended him.
Yes, yeah, I agree with that.
And then they still have one other piece. And CeCe and Smalls and I have been trying to rack our brain for the right person, but CeCe brought up a great reference of Kurt Warner to Eli Manning.
Yeah.
To bring in that veteran quarterback who's been there and done that to kind of mentor Caleb Williams, we threw out there Ryan Tannehill is probably the best one available. He hasn't necessarily proven to be a mentor, but I agree. I think the Bears are really in a good spot here. All right, you tweeted something, and I want your take on this. You said this Ohtani story does not pass the smell test.
Yeah, I was just going off of, like, okay, you know, from what I read in the story, there was one thing being said about the Ohtani wiring the money, but then all of a sudden it got changed to, well, you know, like, massive theft. I'm like, well, which one is it here?
Right. Uh-huh.
What is, something doesn't add up here. $4.5 million?
Yeah, for those just tuning in, basically what Damian is talking about is that there's this story that has been reported on ESPN.com. It's simply, without making any accusations, the interpreter for Ohtani has lost or had a $4.5 million gambling debt, spoke about it, said Ohtani helped him out, and then it's, well, no, Ohtani has nothing to do with this.
Right.
So we don't know what's going on.
Yeah, it's just like, how do you, like, where is the theft? Like, last time I checked, when you wiring that type of money,
They're going to do some identity verification.
Oh, yeah. Like, you don't just roll in like, yeah, let me go ahead and wire this for
them. They call you.
They call everybody.
You have a security code that only you're supposed to have.
That's right.
There's a whole lot of layers.
There's a whole lot of checks.
You have to send a photo with the date.
There's a whole lot of checks and balances when you're talking about wiring that sum of money. That's why this whole thing just reeks. It doesn't smell. It doesn't pass.
Yeah, you can't just Venmo that.
No. There's no Venmo on that. I can tell you that.
All right, let's finish in a fun way then here with Damian, if we could. What happens to you when you go to Islander games? You're like the biggest celebrity in the world at these games. Can you explain what happens here?
No, like I'm a true fan. So I go there and, man, it's just because you got to understand Long Island is like that's where the Jets kind of home fan base is centrally located in Long Island. So, you know, a lot of people, they, you know, recognize me from here, ESPN during my Jet days. So it's like a cross pollination, you know, for the Islanders and the Jets and all those.
You're nodding your head. You know what this is like.
Yeah, because if you're a Giant, you're Rangers, that's Knicks, right. Yankees. If you're a Jet, it's Nets, Mets, Islanders. Right. That's how it works.
Yep. But you get the mic, you talk to the crowd.
Yeah. Listen, man. Yeah. I'm kind of entrenched there. But you know what? The craziest thing is like the owner of the Islanders, man, is John Ledecky, and like he took me to game like a couple years ago when the Islanders won the Eastern Conference Finals. Like he took me with him to Game 7.
Wow.
Like that was like one of the most. That was one of the best experiences in sports that I've ever had, man. It was truly amazing. So I've just been all in.
Well, this is great to know that Damian's going to take the unsportsmanlike crew to an Islanders game.
Yeah, let's do it. Look at that.
I've never been to UBS. I heard it's dope.
I
heard it's beautiful. Amazing.
I really
we're going to go in the stands or the suites?
I want to be with the people. I will be with the people.
I want to be in the suite.
But see, we can do both.
We can do both.
All right, let us know. I invited the three of us.
I would love that.
On Damien's tab. I love that. Yes, yeah. I'm over it next. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Well, here he is, ladies and gentlemen, Pat Costello, our producer, with items around sports, entertainment, his life, that he's over. Pat?
I'm still right about that 90s basketball thing, but that's besides the point. I'd like to get this off my chest right now about the NCAA tournament. I don't care about how bad your bracket is or how good your bracket is. Please don't tell me. It's like your fantasy football team or your gambling, I guess, Otani. Don't tell me how bad it's going for you. I don't care. Just don't bring it up. Keep it to yourself.
I tend to agree.
You're doing that before we actually share our brackets?
Yeah.
Come on, Pat.
No. I want to know your picks, but if it goes bad, you guys I'm less concerned with. It's like people in my life.
Saying.
Like,
so you're saying the
I don't
result,
need
so
like
the
don't
result.
Walk up to me randomly at work and be like, oh man, my bracket's terrible. It's busted. Great. Okay. I don't care.
Okay, they're all
but,
busted.
But it's okay before the tournament actually starts, though. Like if you're talking about it right now before the games start today, then it's okay to say who you have in your Final Four, who you think is gonna win it all. It's okay to do that. It's just not okay to give the play-by-play the update on how your bracket is going.
I don't want to walk into work tomorrow and someone tells me how bad their bracket is. I'm not even going to answer. I'm just going to turn and walk away.
Okay.
So rank them. What's the worst? worst, second worst, third, however you want to rank it, right? Between bracket guy, fantasy football guy, and or gal, and betting person.
Betting is the worst. Fantasy is second. Bracket is third. But they're all pretty much right there together.
Yeah. He's right. I don't want to, like, I don't care, person X, if you're like, ah, God, I got BYU Duquesne wrong. Cool. Like, what's for lunch? I don't care that you got BYU Duquesne wrong.
Yeah, I also never care if you lose your fantasy matchup of the week by 2 points. I don't care.
Yeah, but this is a little bit different, though. I mean, you guys are kind of spoiling the party. A part of it is being able to call some of the upsets that nobody sees coming and to say, hey, I had that on my bracket. I called that upset, and it actually happened. Isn't that fun?
Yeah, it is a little bit of a sense of community.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, you picked UConn too? Okay, great. You know, we're kind of riding this wave together.
Yeah.
I don't think so. Not with the tournament, because it's so many Johnny come latelys. It's different if you before
everybody's a Johnny come lately.
I know, that's what I'm saying. So before the NFL season, you're like you love the Texans. I think the Texans are gonna win the Super Bowl. All right, well, I know you've been watching them all year. That's a 7 or 18 week long run of it versus let me look at a bracket and listen to Hembo's stats and then make picks off of it. There's too many Johnny come latelys with this to actually credit somebody for the upset picks. Myron Metcalf's joining us later. It's different when Myron, who's a college basketball reporter and analyst, says it. I think that's what you're saying, Pat. Am I correct?
Yeah. I just know at some point I'm going to get a text from one of my sisters being like, oh, man, I sure had this game right. And I'm just like, you have not watched a single thing in college basketball. I don't care about your bracket.
This is actually about his sisters. I didn't pick
it's
up on
no,
that.
No, it's about anybody. I mean, if Javonte came in tomorrow, I'd be like, bracket's busted. I'd be like, sick, dude.
You think Javonte, knowing him as well as you do, would volunteer any information?
He might.
I don't think so.
We talk about a lot of stuff back here while you guys are doing a show.
That is fair.
Speaking of the NCAA tournament, coaches need to stop complaining about the structure of it. It's the only thing that college sports in general completely nails. It's the perfect tournament. Why do we need to change it? If you can't get into this top 64 in college basketball, that's on you and your team.
Well, from that perspective, yes. But when Tom Izzo is out there saying, Michigan State head coach, that there shouldn't be upsets past the first weekend, I totally agree with him. You want to see upsets on Thursday and Friday. You do not want to see them on Saturday and Sunday. I'm sorry.
I disagree.
I do not want too. Cinderellas in week two of the tournament.
That's what makes thing so great is that an unexpected team can go on a run.
This might be the most democratized element of all of high-level sports.
Yes.
Like, think about it. You have all of these programs that are coming, you know, from these smaller conferences that have an opportunity on the big stage to compete with the Blue Bloods. I love that about this.
Me too.
Like, you can have that quintessential underdog story.
Yes.
Like, you don't really get that in any other sport.
We love when Butler makes a run. We love Loyola Chicago.
Name one player from Loyola Chicago.
It doesn't matter that we have to know the actual players.
That's what I would have gone.
It doesn't matter that we actually know the names of the players. I think the fact that we don't know them makes it even more intriguing.
Yeah, can you name, Evan, can you name like five players in college basketball period right now?
Good point,
probably, yeah.
Go ahead.
Hunter Dickinson, RJ Davis.
Who do they play for? I need teams.
We're really going to do, okay, Hunter Dickinson for Kansas, okay. Was previously at Michigan. Caleb Love, who's on, on Arizona,
okay.
Previously
point,
at North Carolina.
Case in point, we
RJ
barely know.
Davis, Armando Bacot. Do I need to continue?
Yeah, that's four.
Okay, so then. Oh, I do need to continue?
He said name five.
All right, let me look at the bracket.
He has to look at the bracket.
This is my point. Like, it doesn't matter.
John L. Davis, FAU.
It doesn't matter. The point is no one cares about the players. They just care about the team.
You're struggling in there. Is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Cool. I know nothing about
it. I just think that makes it more compelling, though, because these people can come out of nowhere and make a run on the biggest stage that the sport has to offer, which is the tournament.
We love the unpredictability of this thing, which is why it's so compelling to
Thursday
watch.
And think Friday,
about this, though. Like, Drake ain't got no chance. I don't even know if they have a football program, but they're not going to be in the BCS. They're not going to be in the CFP. Like, mm-hmm. Like you're not going to see that. Like, sure. You're not going to see that. You don't get that in the NFL or Major League Baseball or NBA or hockey because all of these programs, all of these organizations have a ton of money. Well, you don't have that in college basketball, and yet these teams can find themselves in the same rarefied air as the Blue Blood programs. Like I said, this might be the most democratized element of high-level sports.
Mm-hmm. Drake, I believe, does have a football program, I think. Yeah, but I had to look that up. Anyway, next one.
Why is it a surprise to Giants fans that Saquon Barkley clearly hated his time there? They stunk, and he got all the blame for it because he was the face of the organization. And Nuno's going to try to argue with me that he didn't get all the blame, even though he very clearly did. Of course he's going to be more excited to go to a place like the Eagles, where he's not going to be the most important person on the team. He's not going to have the microscope on him, and he actually has a chance to win.
I don't feel like he got a lot of the blame.
Thank you. That is insane.
So he was the face of the franchise when they weren't good, but nobody was saying it was his fault.
He was the face of one of the worst decisions that we've seen a general manager make.
Correct. The Giant fans loved him. And now yes. Pat's creating yeah. this narrative of like, oh, he got all this blame because he's not one of us. Because, listen, I understand I don't have kids, but I know they say the cutest things. I'm not buying anything that story about, and we'll talk about it later, that his daughter was like, oh, we're going to the Eagles now? We're going to win? I'm not buying that. Chill.
Can I just add one thing on this?
Pat now is just taking one social media clip from someone who's trying to be famous and say, oh, he got the most blame. Like, dude, stop.
Giants fans love Saquon Barkley.
Big time. Not anymore.
I think Daniel Jones has gotten such blame that he's actually become a little bit underrated.
Daniel Jones gets no blame.
Saquon Barkley. That's the point. The reason why Daniel Jones is here is because of Saquon Barkley.
Because they didn't take a quarterback.
The Giants didn't take a quarterback in 2018. They could have taken Josh Allen. They could have taken Lamar Jackson. They didn't. And then they took Daniel Jones in 2019. They clearly reached for a quarterback because he went sixth overall. Then the following draft, which was 2020, the Joe Burrow draft, was a quarterback-rich draft. The Giants had the fourth overall pick. They passed on Tua. They passed on Justin Herbert. Why? Because you had Daniel Jones in his second year. So it's a domino effect that goes back to the second overall pick in 2018. And that's why I say Saquon Barkley is the face of one of the worst decisions a general manager has made recently in every team sport.
But it's not his fault, which you've never said it.
Oh, it's not his fault. He's a fine player, but he was never going to be good enough to surpass what those other players could have done for your franchise. If you would have had Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, or Justin Herbert, what would the state of the Giants be versus what it is right now?
Better,
I think, is where I'd go on that one.
Better.
We are Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance here on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.